May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Perhaps you might have noticed that throughout Lent we have been healing some of the difficult words of our tradition. The first Sunday of Lent, we started with the word repentance, being an invitation to freedom instead of a threat of punishment. And then we had humility, which, rather than making us feel small, helps us to see ourselves in proportion to God's hugeness and find our place in the huge beauty of God's vision for the world. Last week's word would have been easy to miss, since I didn't mention it anywhere in the sermon. We talked about trusting God's vision that we become a free and faithful people and relaxing into the way that God asks us to walk. And in truth, the word for that is the word submission, to relax and to follow. Not the kind of submission where we're broken and abused, but where we trust and accept and follow God as God leads us into new life and emotional health and a new spiritual vitality. So repentance, humility, submission, all very powerful words. All of them words which have been misused and damaged over time, so that they no longer give us a taste of the beautiful, dynamic, magnificent life that God dreams of for us. The word discipline also needs healing. Like repentance, humility, and submission, discipline is an invitation to an ever more beautiful life of faith. A couple of examples. First example, I had a young friend in Vancouver. His name was Raymond. Well, Raymond suffered a car accident, and he wasn't injured, but the person who caused the car accident was. Actually, they were injured very, very badly. And he sunk into a depression following this car accident, and this depression stretched on and on and on. But at last, one phone call, I could hear that something had changed with Raymond. He was feeling much better. He had been feeling increasingly good over the past several months, and now he was centered in himself and feeling better about himself, more so than he had almost ever felt. And what was the drug that produced this miracle for Raymond? Well, there was no drug. Someone had prescribed at least one smile every day. At least one thank you to a stranger every day, and to say hello to at least one person every day. That was all. And double that on days when he felt miserable. And to forgive himself if he missed a day, but he had to try keeping on every day. A discipline of three small conscious choices every day. Well, not that I'm prescribing this as the cure-all for depression, but this small discipline changed Raymond's life. Every day he exercised this discipline, his smile, his thank you, and his hello. And every day, little by little, he took his life into his own hands, and he chose how to live it in small ways, starting with what he could do. And slowly it crept into his way of living his ordinary life. So now he was saying hello and thank you and a smile, and he was getting out of bed and he was brushing his teeth. And then he was saying hello and thank you and giving a smile, getting out of bed and brushing his teeth and eating one meal with vegetables in it. Not exclusively a vegetable meal, but, you know, at least one meal with some vegetables every day. And it was just a small discipline. It crept into his ordinary way of living, and it quietly transformed his life from the inside out. Another example. When I first went to seminary, I think you know, I'd only been a church-going Anglican for a few short months. I still had that sort of joyful mania that comes from recent conversion. But at seminary, they told us straight out, like in the first few weeks, there will be days that you don't want to pray. And there will be days that you don't want to go to church. Well, tough luck. Just keep doing it, whether you want to or not. Just keep doing it, and it will see you through. And they then apprenticed me to a church where there were three services every Sunday, and I was expected to show up at 7:30 in the morning and vest and serve at all three services every single week for 5 years. Boy, there were days when I had just become an Anglican. I was still just finished with the days of staying out late on Saturdays and sleeping in on Sunday mornings. And woo, there were days when I did not want to be at church. There were days when I desperately would like to have been in bed. But there was this discipline to it. And there was this accountability for that discipline. They expected me to be there, and so I kind of did it. And that discipline has seen me through some tough times in my life, let me tell you. Times when I did not want to go to church at all. Times when I never wanted to go to church ever again. But I go to church, and God catches me and carries me through. There are times when I don't want to pray, when I don't know how to pray. But the discipline gets me to show up and to pray. And God does the rest. In our Wednesday night Lenten study on the Book of Esther, we are learning about character. That's the title of the study, Esther, Character Under Pressure. But we are learning about discipline too. We are learning about making good, wise, godly choices and then persevering in those decisions regardless of how hard it is to hold the course. In chapter 1, Queen Vashti decides that she will not be humiliated by her king in front of his drunken party. And regardless of the pressure on her to relent, she perseveres. When Esther is taken to the palace to compete in the style of, we said it was a combination of Miss Universe and The Bachelor and Survivor with a heavy dose of The Hunger Games. When she's taken into the palace to compete for the position of queen against hundreds of catty, competitive, scheming other teenage girls, she perseveres in her kindness and her thoughtfulness and her compassion against what we all agreed would be an almost insurmountable challenge to keep being nice under those circumstances. And when Mordecai overhears a plot to kill the king, he takes action to bring it to the king's attention, despite the huge risk that the king might in fact disbelieve him and punish him instead, or that the risk that the plot might get back to the people who were plotting and that they might now put his life at risk. All of these instances show discipline, and we've only finished three chapters of the Book of Esther, and let me tell you, there's more coming down the pipe at us. All of these instances show us examples of discipline, discipline which is the determined continuation of a positive behavior, despite pressures that we face to stop, or despite all those excuses that exist in our lives that we could just slack off and not do it and, you know, whatever, who cares? So what if I don't want to do it? Then I won't do it. Down through the ages, discipline has been a characteristic of the Christian life. Without discipline, we would have no saints. I think we can all agree with that. We'd have no martyrs, for sure, because they would have recanted. We'd have no clergy. But we'd also have no churches, because many of you know that being a part of a community of faith requires a lot of perseverance, right? So we'd have no churches, but in fact, we'd have no church at all, because the very first Christians had to persevere against incredible pressures to give up what they believed in, to become meek and obedient Roman subjects. But in Christ, they had found something worth dedicating their lives to. Habits and practices that made them different and that opened their eyes and their hearts to a whole new, beautiful, liberating way to live. And they weren't going to give that up easily. Here, too, God is opening our eyes and our hearts to a new way of being. And here, too, it is going to take some discipline for us to follow the path that God invites us to walk. God is inviting us into new kinds of healthy relationships with one another, where we are reconciled to each other, where we learn to trust one another, where we heal from years of unhealthy power dynamics, and we learn to turn to one another and listen and learn from one another. That is the vision that God is opening to us here at St. George's, to become a new people together, to experience the new life in Christ together. And probably most of us have a big, beautiful yes in our hearts. Yes, yes, we want to be renewed. Yes, we want to see that. Yes, we want to be that people. Yes, we want to heal from that past. And that yes, over time, will take discipline, because it will not always be very easy to live that yes. There will be days when that yes is hard. There will be days when it's easy for bitterness or memories of old hurts to rise up like the bile in the throat. There will be days when trust is a hard thing to practice. Days when we don't even notice the old habits creeping back. There will be days when you'll be tempted to gossip about one another, and it'll be hard to resist. There will be days when you'll be worried that someone is trying to sideline you like they did that one time. And it will be so hard to give them the benefit of the doubt. We will all of us fall down at one time or another. So we can just put that on the table. That's just going to happen. Okay, fine. No problem. But we are called to be to the discipline. We are called to disciple ourselves, to discipline ourselves, so that we can say yes to the new life that we are offered here in Christ. We are called to that discipline, the discipline of getting up and brushing ourselves off and learning what we can when we have fallen down and apologizing when we need to and persevering in being healed and being reconciled and being made new. God is opening the door for us to experience this new life. And nothing would make God happier than if we said yes, not just once, but again and again and again, step by step, determined choice by determined choice, step by step, walking into God's whole new, beautiful, liberating way to live, a free and faithful people, brothers and sisters through Christ our Lord. Friends, that is a vision worth striving for. And it will take some striving. May God give us the power that we do everything we can to see it come to pass in our midst. Amen.